everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Zach on Film, a very special episode of Zach on Film. And joining me for it is Steven Schleicher.
Hello.
Hey, Steven. And all the way across the internet is Rodrigo Lopez.
Hello.
So this is a very special episode of Zach on Film, Steven, doing something we've never done before.
Yeah.
Critiquing a commercial.
Critiquing a commercial, but not just any commercial.
No.
One that over the last couple of weeks has gotten a lot of attention. It's for a company that I'm not even familiar with because of my clothing dress, H&M.
Yeah.
I'm sure you are very familiar
with H&M.
I am not, but they got Wes Anderson to direct a Christmas commercial for them, which is really nice. It's a couple minutes long, and it also includes Adrian Brody, who is in 100% of
like
Wes Anderson
of
films, I'm pretty sure. And so I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. If you want a condensed version of what a Wes Anderson movie is about, Wes Anderson, and I'm trying to see what is the length of this piece.
It's like three minutes.
Almost 4 minutes. So Wes Anderson has taken his entire style, his entire storytelling technique, everything about Wes Anderson you can find in this little 3 minute, 52 second H&M commercial on YouTube. And I thought I just thought it'd be kind of interesting to discuss this because you like Wes Anderson.
I do.
And we haven't talked about directors, you know, major Hollywood directors who go and direct television spots like Spike Lee has done this in the past. So I thought maybe we could spend a little bit of time this week. We're kind of short on time this week. Talking about this little spot.
Yeah, it's interesting. Rodrigo, do you actually like Wes Anderson? I don't know if we've ever talked about Wes Anderson together.
I'm not actually a huge fan of Wes Anderson. I think a lot of the time, like, Wes Anderson movies are supposed to make you feel a certain way, and whether because it just kind of doesn't work on me, or because my heart is actually a lump of iron covered in ice, like, it's just, like, I don't feel it, but, like, I watch, like, the people around me, and they're, like, sighing and, like, tearing up.
So you did. So your heart did not grow three sizes that day. You watched the H&M video by Wes Anderson.
It did not. It like the Royal Tenenbaums didn't do it. The Life Aquatic didn't do it. I haven't seen Moonrise Kingdom, but I mean I don't have a problem with Wes Anderson movies, but it's like so much of that style is to like evoke this feeling, right? This like nostalgic for a place that doesn't exist kind of feeling,
right?
That if it doesn't work on you, it's like it's just all it's like just feels like a lot of wasted energy and a lot of wasted straight on right down the middle shots.
But for Wes Anderson though, doesn't that come down to his aesthetic style? I mean, when we look at
see
a classic, you know, like 1950s silver liner rail car that's painted this drab green, this very like mint green color that's been faded out from years of use. And you see our conductor talking on an older microphone set saying, oh, I'm sorry, everybody, because of the snow and the delays, we're going to be coming in late. We're going to miss Christmas. And as he's talking, we're panning across all of these different windows in the train and we're seeing these people who are upset. I mean, obviously, they've got Christmas shopping to do. And then the conductor and his assistant on the train are like, hey, but come down to the dining car in 20 minutes, 20 minutes exactly, because we'll have something special for you. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into something really nice and special. But I think but that's his aesthetic style, which I think is, and up until Grand Budapest Hotel, I was not a fan of Wes
Anderson
like either. No, but then when I watched Grand Budapest Hotel and I was like, oh, I get what he's doing and I understand it now. It's not just boring monotone shots. This is his style. Then I suddenly was like, oh, okay, I understand him now. Mm-hmm. Moonrise Kingdom, still just an okay movie.
I love Moonrise Kingdom.
But I mean, you know, I think for someone, I mean, when we look at Kubrick, when we look at Spielberg, when we look at Spike Lee, when we look at these guys and we are like, oh, these guys have a very specific style. You can tell when you're watching a Steven Spielberg movie, or maybe in some cases, maybe you can't tell that it's a Steven Spielberg movie
because you're actually watching a J.J. Abrams.
Because you're probably watching, you know, 8mm. But you know, you watch these side by side with one another, and you'd be like, "Oh, there's something familiar about these two movies: this Jaws movie and this Hook movie. There's something about them." And then you're like, "It's by the same director." Oh, okay. Well, I understand that now. Mm-hmm. With Wes Anderson, it becomes you see this, and you're like, "Oh, this is a Wes Anderson film, or someone is parodying Wes Anderson exactly, and they understand exactly what makes a Wes Anderson movie work. And again, if you're if you don't want to take the time to see the Grand Budapest Hotel, which I suggest you do, I think this is a great little primer on Wes Anderson.
You know, I think it's right. I think the feeling that Wes Anderson invokes in his films makes him perfect to do like a holiday commercial of like, oh, nostalgia and family and just all warm butterflies in your stomach. Like he's really good at that. And it's everything from like the musical choices, like honestly, like the deadpan acting kind of the, he only uses really like two lenses. So we have like a general idea of how everything's going to look, and everything artistic wise is always down to the T, which is actually what I didn't like about this commercial.
Oh, really?
Well, is that it was so obvious. All of those passengers were wearing H&M clothing that did not fit within Wes Anderson's style.
I mean, you're right. That's actually like, I felt that way as well, because there's something about there's something about Wes Anderson that is stylishly unstylish, right? It's like ugly sweaters, like clashing colors, like patterns that don't match to give you, to immediately evoke that, like, here's a character that is either fashionable in some alternate Wes Anderson reality, but in ours is like not. Like this is a character who put a lot of thought into their terrible outfit. and once you include people with like cool beanies and like scarves and stuff like that, it does kind of break it.
That was
not knowing anything about H&M, I was just like, oh, okay, they're a little snappier dress.
Yeah.
Because it's more modern. Most of Wes Anderson stuff is not modern times.
Yeah. And really, everything could have been forgiven besides that one dude in the beanie, the scarf, and the sunglasses. Like, get out of here. Oh, you should be like, now, you should be punched in the face.
He is one that really stood out as that character doesn't belong in this piece.
No.
He's the one that's going to blow up the train at the end of this.
Yeah. Like, if he was in the Wes Anderson movie, someone's punching him like right in the nose.
Yes.
Because he's such a total tool.
Because the way he came down the rail car, I was like, oh, no, this guy doesn't, there's something off about that. Okay. So I totally agree with you on that. But, you know, the other thing that you didn't mention about Wes Anderson's style as you were running down things is Wes Anderson always likes to frame everything dead in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always that way.
And he does it perfectly here. And in fact, even when you have this very narrow hallway in the rail car, he frames it in just a way that all three of these passengers that are walking down the hallway at the same time occupy their own space that's very distinct. Yet they're still in the middle of the frame, which I was just like, wow, that's really nicely done.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can see why you H&M people are like, oh yeah, that was a total sellout Wes Anderson. But I don't know. I think it's like, here's a director doing what he's known for doing, just like the Mookie Williams spots for Nike back in the day following Do the Right Thing, where Spike Lee is like, this is what people expect. This is what I'll give them. And people will instantly recognize that style. And I think that's why, for me, this spot really, really works.
I think it works, too. But it just became so obvious to me that H&M got a style for different people in this thing. Like, Wes Anderson, sorry, you don't get to choose these four outfits because we need to sell, like, more sweaters this season.
Right.
But it was so... I mean, the idea of this spot is a feeling of Wes Anderson. Like, that's why you get Wes Anderson, because it's going to be like quirky and kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to invoke this feeling of the season that we want everyone to associate H&M with. So it's not like, why even worry about the clothes? Like, you're not really putting them straightforward anyways. Yeah. It's like, why even worry about it? Or let him like take your fashion and just do weird stuff to it.
Or just,
or not even worry about it. Yeah.
Let him pick the clothing, because again, somebody from H&M picked all the costumes for these people, and it's like, this man's wearing the suit from H&M, this guy's wearing this. Okay,
well, and that's the thing, again, is like, ultimately it is a commercial company. You know,
that is
the thing, is you would run into these two problems, right? On the one hand, people that are like, well, those, I don't like those clothes, you know, if they're not getting the Wes Anderson vibe. And on the other, you'd probably have people who are like, hey, so I've been looking all over the store for that hideous green vest. Yeah. I can't find it anywhere. Like, oh, no. That's actually from Adrian Brody's personal collection. We don't know.
I was going to say something about, you know, this being a commercial and they are selling something. You know, this could have been radically different, where as people are walking by, there's a little motion tracked tag that says catalog number, such and such. So, you know, for a commercial, this is super subtle,
yeah.
I think, because unless you know they're a clothing company, this just comes off as a nice little happy piece.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting, you know, the H&M, the everybody's drinking out of these like ice cream things at the end. I was like, oh, H&M's an ice cream company.
Yeah. And it really, the clothing thing is probably only an issue
mm-hmm.
if you're both familiar with the work yep. of mm-hmm. Wes Anderson mm-hmm. and the catalog of H&M.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which really probably, when I watched this commercial, it had been viewed 3.5 million times, which is probably more than the like Moonrise Kingdom
other,
got watched.
Than any other Wes Anderson yeah. film combined, probably, yeah. yes.
It is interesting, though, because that means that Zach is actually the target demographic. Like, he is somebody who likes Wes Anderson and likes H&M, and it gave him a stomach ache, you mm-hmm. know? Like, it actually clashed because he's familiar with both things and they don't quite mesh.
But, you know, it did end well in that mm-hmm. they picked the musical equivalent of Wes Anderson
right.
of the from the holiday album of Sufjan Stevens. It's like they found the musical Wes Anderson. It's like, guess what?
Yeah.
They're together now.
Yeah. Of the 3.5 million views that this has as of this recording, I'm sure it'll go up another million by the time this episode releases. 60,000 people like it. 3,000 people don't like it, but unfortunately, H&M has turned comments off for the video.
Smart
so we
move,
can't
H&M.
See why people are not liking the video.
Because they're people on YouTube.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. So yes, 10% of all comments can be discounted as just trolls.
Yeah.
Okay. Or is that 1%? 1%.
Who knows? Yeah. Probably 10% on YouTube.
So effective, not effective, liked it, didn't like it. What's your final verdict there, Zach?
I mean, besides the weird outfit choices, I really enjoyed it because I, again, really like Wes Anderson. And you're right. It is nice to see an hour and a half, 2 hour Wes Anderson film distilled down to like 3 minutes and 50 seconds. It obviously is somewhat effective because, I mean, it got huge splash on the internet when it came out. It was on like the trending page of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are going to see it. I'm sure H&M will sell more cool scarves and sweet combo of sunglasses because of it. So it's good for them. It was just that one section was really just super weird for me.
Mm-hmm. Rodrigo, what about you?
I mean, this is actually the opposite for me, right? Don't much care for Wes Anderson. Don't shop at H&M. But I thought it was, I do like extended ads. I mm-hmm. think they're interesting because it's a format that isn't like well trod. Like you have, it's like if you extend it too much, it like transforms into an infomercial. If you shrink it, then it's just a regular ad, and there are kind of set rules for that. So mm-hmm. it's like this longer kind of scripted like little story ad is actually really interesting to me. It may actually be my favorite Wes Anderson film.
Wouldn't it be amazing if like movies were so good in like the early 2000s, 90s, and it's like, but now TV has been so good and dominant for the last couple of years.
Right.
Wouldn't it be like the new thing is all the directors and top billed actors are like going to make extended commercials.
I mean, it's not crazy. There was, you're right, Zach. There was a time when a movie star moving down to TV was like, oh, this person has given up on their career.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like mm-hmm. There was a time when it was better to just drift off into obscurity than to take a step down to TV. And nowadays, it's like the opposite. I mean, it really is. It's like you are simultaneously, you basically get a side, character in a movie so that you can spin that into an ongoing HBO series, you know? Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, not Wes Anderson's first TV commercial.
No, he did a car one.
Hyundai commercial back in 2012.
Yeah.
Here are famous film directors, 10 famous film directors, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We'll go eight famous film directors who have worked in television commercials. Wes Anderson, Fellini, mm-hmm. Ingmar Bergman, Martin Scorsese, Darren Aronofsky, David Lynch, Sofia Coppola, and David Fincher.
Hmm.
So there you go.
A whole lot of them.
Whole lot
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, and and like a really interesting list. Like these have to be some disturbing commercials.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it Scorsese that did the iPad? No, who was that? Who did the car commercial? It was like a Mercedes-Benz commercial. They shot it and edited it on the iPad. And big selling point.
I don't know. Maybe it was him.
It was someone like that. It was a big director.
Hey, Ron Howard.
David Fincher did at least Apple commercial.
Did at least one camera commercial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, that is your extra special dose of Zach on Film this week as we talk Wes Anderson and H&M. You never saw that coming.
No, you didn't.
No. But in the meantime, before the next full episode of Zach on Film comes out, head over to MajorSpoilers.com where you can find this podcast page and tell us what your favorite commercial directed by a movie director is. I'm sure you have a whole top five list of them.
Oh, I'm sure somebody's going to say Ridley Scott's Apple Computer 1984
Of course.
So, yeah.
There's that, yep.
While you're at Major Spoilers, click on that Amazon.com link where you can do all of your shopping. It's not going to cost you any extra when you do that over there, but a little bit of that money will come back to Major Spoilers to help podcasts like this continue week after week after week. And see, even if someone really loves Major Spoilers, they could become a Patreon.
Oh, yes. In fact, you really want to see these shows continue. If you love Zach.
I do.
And you want to see this show continue, then head over to patreon.com/Major Spoilers. Sign up, become one of our patrons, and your financial contribution, small monthly contribution, really, it's like literally quarters per episode, can ensure that this show continues week after week, month after month, even on weeks when we're super busy with holiday performances and family things and all those other things that screw up our fun podcast recordings. You can ensure that we can continue to make those for you by becoming a patron at patreon.com/Major Spoilers. Again, that's patreon.com/Major Spoilers. At the very least, go check out the page because you'll find out what you're missing, including all of the bonus content. Patreon.com/Major Spoilers.
And that's it for this episode. We will see you next week with more Zach on Film.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.